With support from the U.S. Department of Justice, the state of Pennsylvania, as well as national and local foundations, the collaborative has been able to mount a reentry program. And there's been an effort to divert people with addiction or mental health issues to housing other than the jail. However, there still aren't enough resources to serve everyone, so only those at medium to high risk of reoffending are chosen for the reentry program.
My name is Amy McNicholas-Kroll, and I am the Administrator of Reentry Services here in Allegheny County.
Amy Kroll meets me as soon as I get through security.
If you look at reentry as a huge umbrella, there's a program that's very intense. They get a reentry specialist that's somewhat like a case manager that follows them in here for 6 months and on the outside for a year. In order to stop recidivism, we have to attack the biggest problem, those guys that are coming in time and time and time again. And those are the ones that are continually doing violations in the community. And there's a lot of risk factors. Do they have their GED? Do they have their education? Are they involved in the drug and alcohol or criminal life? You know, do they have criminal thinking? Do they have any of the skills to interview and get a job? So there's a lot that we have to do to get them ready. We're going to go down to our reentry center. It's for anybody in the jail that wants to avail themselves of services that will benefit them once they leave the jail. Basically, the services are everything from employment to an education to our cognitive behavioral therapy, thinking for change, to drug and alcohol treatment, to making phone calls home to reconnect with our families.
It doesn't feel like a jail here. It pulses with positive energy. Men are just coming out of a classroom. Amy Kroll takes me to a large, quiet office where I meet the teacher.
My name's Karen Cordero. I'm with Pittsburgh Mercy Health System, and I facilitate the Thinking for a Change group in the reentry program. It's a very extensive program. They're learning cognitive behavioral techniques, what their risk thoughts are in any given situation, and how to understand that the way they thought about that led to their choices, led to their behaviors. And then they have to come up with a new way to think about that situation, that it could have a different outcome.
Amy Kroll says inmates start using what they learn while they're still in jail.
You know, when you got 60, 80, 90 guys jammed on a pod, they need thinking for change so that it's either, this guy's getting in my face, I can either hit him and then go up to the restrictive housing unit, or I can turn and walk away. And it's all about thinking before you act.
Before we continue the tour, hear what Daryl Kostin says about the class. Kostin has been out of jail since October 2011 and has a full-time job.
Thinking for Change was my first class, and it was so needed. Because I was a hothead. Oh, I was snapped. And it's really amazing. I'm so calm. If a person's really angry and you're staying calm, they know that you're listening to them, it brings them down. And that's what I learned. You can diffuse a whole situation just by not feeding fire with fire. There's two ways you can go to a confrontation. You can go with water, or you can go with fire. They kind of teach you to go to it with water. So maybe you can put that situation out, and they try to teach you how to stop and just think. Breathe, get your thoughts together so you don't react in a way that's just going to create more risk for yourself.
Back in the jail, Amy Kroll sees someone else she wants me to meet.
Let me introduce you to Mike Barfield real quick. He's our drug and alcohol. Mike, you got a second?
My name is Mike Barfield, and I'm actually with Allegheny Correctional Health Services. My role is running the drug and alcohol program in the reentry center. One of our focus points is the family end of things, so we really try to get them understanding the effects of addiction on the family. They are all going back to families which have in many ways been, as we say, blown up like a landmine as a result of the addiction. So how do you deal with that when you get back? So we get a lot of guys that are not only substance users, but they've also been out selling. And when you look at the addiction that comes along with having that money in your pocket and versus not having that money in your pocket, your physical symptoms are sometimes very similar. So we try to look at that type of addiction too, because a lot of guys will admit to selling, but they say, I don't use. But they can see that it all leads to some negative outcomes. Maybe it's ACJ, maybe it's death, maybe it's some other things, but it all has an effect on the family.
About 80% of inmates have addiction issues. Daryl Kostin went to those classes, too.
When they signed me up for the class, I'm thinking to myself, like, drug and alcohol, like, I'm not addicted to drugs. What do I need this class for? But as I went through the class and I heard some of the stories and what Mr. Barfield was teaching us, that's how I learned that I wasn't addicted to the actual drugs, but I was addicted to the lifestyle from selling drugs. So I was not only a problem in the streets with the drugs, but I was in denial. I didn't understand that I really had a problem. I wasn't proud to be a drug dealer. There was nothing I was ever proud of. I was proud that I was financially providing for my family without knowing the actual really real danger that I was putting myself and my family in at that time. All I seen was, well, I can feed my kids, I can clothe my kids, I can put a roof over my kids, so I seen nothing wrong with it. But we all know that it's wrong. I mean, I don't think that way now.
Daryl Kostin says his mother was a strong person who never condoned his drug dealing, but positive male role models were lacking.
And I'm from a broken home. I grew up with no dad. I hate to use you're a product of your environment, but it's really easy to take the path of doing what's wrong when that's all you see is everybody doing wrong, and it's only like one or two people you can see doing good, if you even recognize that what they're doing is good. You make it to the NBA, yeah, one in a million. You become a professor, yeah, one in 3 trillion. You know, you be a doctor, oh, mommy can't afford for you to go to college. So many barriers. It's just not that I didn't want to go to college. Those dreams are very short. But when you can see some things, Bob just made $20,000 last month selling drugs. So, hey, I'll sell some drugs.
A Pitt study released in 2008 showed that recidivism for people in collaborative programs was cut in half, and each $1 spent saved $6. The cost per inmate per year is $22,600. Studies of the expanded jail collaborative services are due this year from the Urban Institute and in 2014 from the Department of Justice. Daryl Kostin doesn't have to wait for the studies.
If you can't make it when you go through that program and you come home with the support and the effort that they give, it's totally because you don't want it.
Charlie Song, WESA News.